If you'll turn with me tonight for a short while into 1 Corinthians, a very familiar chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. I'm not going to read the whole several verses. I'm just going to pick out the verse that I'm going to primarily use for the message tonight, 1 Corinthians 13. Everybody knows this as the love chapter. It's been kind of diagnosed as being that. But I want to lift out of 1 Corinthians 13, I want to lift out verse 9. Paul writes and he says, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part." And I want to attempt to share a message about the blessedness and the benefit of partial knowledge. For we know in part. I know that you realize that 1 Corinthians 13 was not written just to be used in weddings or even in funerals. And I've used portions of it in weddings, and I've used portions of it in funerals as well. It lends itself well to do that and to use it that way. But I believe Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 13 to be used in a church setting, in a church situation, especially to the church at Corinth. Now, it should be used in sometimes heated business conferences and a lot of times committee meetings and things that take place. It's a wonderful place to be used, pretty much widespread throughout Christendom. But Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and they were a divided church. Do you realize they were divided at least in four ways? Actually, five or six ways. If you'll turn back into 1 Corinthians, go back to chapter 1. I want to show you something. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verses. Let's see. Verses. Look at verse 12. 1 Corinthians 1. Start down in verse 12. Look with me. They were divided into four groups of people in that church, had four different followers that they followed. Look what it says, 1 Corinthians 1:12. "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" He said, "I thank God I baptized none of you but those two he mentions there." So they were divided in four factions, you might say, four groups of people within the Corinthian church that had following behind Paul, Peter, and Jesus Christ himself, and Apollos. Now, they were not only divided internally, the church at Corinth was divided spiritually. There was a lot of sin going on in the church at Corinth, just as there's sin going on today in the world and in the church as well. There was open fornication going on in the church at Corinth, and yet with all the divisions in the church, with all the deep sin going on in the church at Corinth, boy, they bragged about how they had all kinds of spiritual knowledge. Boy, we've just got it. We're there. We've arrived. They boasted of their great spiritual knowledge. Now, listen, Corinth did possess probably the best potential of maybe most any church in the New Testament. But with all that great potential that they had, they perverted a lot of it, and they were now in sin. And Paul had to admonish them about things that were going on in the church. I am sure, if I had been there to hear it, I'm sure somebody, or maybe more than one, in the church at Corinth really got offended when Paul looked them right in the face and he said, "For we know in part." Because there were some in the church at Corinth that thought, "What are you talking about, Paul? We know in part." They thought they knew everything. Now, that tribe hasn't exactly passed off the scene yet today, has it? There's still some people today who think they know everything. But Paul looked him right in the face and he said, "For we know in part." Notice something else. Paul used the word "we" there in that verse 9. He said, "For we know in part." Now, Paul included himself when he said, "For we know." He was including all the church at Corinth, and he placed himself right in the very middle of it all. Listen, if anybody knew the Word of God, Paul did. If anybody knew the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and Master, Paul certainly knew that, didn't he? But he knew this, with all his gracious privileges, he didn't know it all. And beloved, listen, we'll never know it all either. There are some know-it-alls, but they don't know it all. Amen? They just do not, and they never will. So Paul just puts himself in the same group when he says, "For we know in part." I want to give these five words some real serious consideration. And from these five little short words, there are three good, healthy responses that'll surface that I want you to see with me. It'll help us today as a church. It'll help us today as an individual just as well. It'll edify us as a church. It'll unify us as a church as well. So let's look at these things and think about the thoughts, the benefit or the blessedness of partial knowledge. The first thing I saw was this, it surfaced. This phrase ought to humble us, "For we know in part." Now, beloved, listen. I've tried to study the Bible for 45 years. God has privileged me, I give Him the honor, to be able to go to Bible college and graduate, and go to seminary and graduate, and do some graduate work and graduate there. But listen to me. After 45 years, I'll be the first to stand and testify, I don't know the Bible. I don't know the Bible. Maybe little bits and pieces and glimpses and small revelations that God has given me from the Word of God. But the more I study the Bible and attempt to study God's Word, the more I discover how little I really do know about the Bible. A man a whole lot smarter than myself, you probably never heard of him. His name is Will Durant. Here's what he wrote. This has been, I'm talking years ago. Will Durant wrote this, and he says this. "Education is a progressive discovery of our own ignorance." Pretty good words, wouldn't you say? Education is a progressive discovery of our own ignorance. How true he is he not? Well, when studying the Bible, King David, now you know he wrote part of the Bible, King David did, and as he was even privileged to write part of the Bible, King David said himself how little he knew, how ignorant he was about God's will and God's ways and God's Word and the wonders that God does and the deeds that God commits. Listen to what he said. Turn back in your Bibles to the Psalm number 40. And verse number 5. Psalm number 40 and verse number 5. Listen to what David himself said, a man who wrote part of the Word of God. Psalm 40 and verse number 5. He says, "Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." I'm talking about the man who's after God's own heart. God testified of David. He's after my own heart. A man who God blessed to write a portion of the blessed Word of God, and David testifies and confesses. God's ways and God's wonders and God's blessed word are just too wonderful for me. They could never be numbered, never be understood. Even Paul exclaimed when he was writing here to the Corinthians, he said this, "Who's known the mind of God? Who has been God's counselor?" Paul would say. In the first three chapters of 1 Corinthians, Paul uses the word wisdom about 17 different times. And in these first three chapters of 1 Corinthians, he compares, or he contrasts the wisdom of God with the wisdom of man or the wisdom of the world. And there's actually no comparison, is there? God says, "My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. The wonders of God are not the wonders of man. The deeds of God are not the deeds of man. The thoughts, the ways, the wonders, the wisdom, all things of God are so high above us, we couldn't know them." But now Corinth was known for its philosophers and for its teachers. And they prided themselves on the knowledge that they had. Well, this spirit of controversy from their philosophers and their teachers had crept into the church here at Corinth. In chapter 8 of 1 Corinthians, verse 1, Paul told them, he said, "Knowledge puffs up." I've always said there's nothing worse than an educated fool. Amen? I mean, a lot of people are educated, highly educated, well trained. My dad used to say they don't have sense enough to get in and out of the rain. True. True it is with a lot of people. Philosophy doesn't get you anywhere. It's the Word of God by the Word of God Himself. Paul said your knowledge you think you have just puffs you up, makes you proud, and thinks you're better than somebody else, more qualified and more deserving than somebody else. Well, real students, I'm talking about serious students of the Bible, those who the Bible says in Timothy who study to show themselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Those kinds of people will be, he says to Timothy, thoroughly furnished unto good works. But you got to understand, these verses ought to humble us. A true Bible student will humble themselves before God because we know we'll never figure out the wonders of God, the ways of God, the thoughts of God, the deeds of God. So at our best, we only have a small portion or a part of what God is and what God's really all about. But how blessed we are to just have a partial knowledge of what God is and what He's all about. It both humbles me and blesses me at the same time. How about you? That God would enlighten us at all concerning His blessed Word. I know Brother Jim knows, and Brother Leon, if he were here, he knows. All preachers ought to know this. If God doesn't give you a message, you don't have anything to say. And my professor used to always say, there's nothing worse than a preacher standing up to say something and have nothing to say and keep on saying it. Amen? Get tired pretty quickly to hear that, don't you? I hope when I stand I have something to share with you. I'm sharing about the very blessedness of partial knowledge. It should humble us that God allows us to have any kind of insight whatsoever in the Word of God. I thank God for partial knowledge, don't you? Second thing about this five words, for we know in part, it not only should humble us, it should also caution us. Now, by the blessed, now I'm really a Bible nut, you might say. I believe this is the infallible, inspired, inerrant Word of God, God breathed by the Holy Ghost, the men of old, and God told them what to say, and they wrote it down, and I believe every word in it, from the Holy Bible on the outside to the last book of the Revelation, I believe it all. Amen. Listen, the inspired Word of God, in all of it, we're given enough knowledge, We're given enough information for salvation. It's a simple thing. If you can read or somebody can read it to us, how to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible's clear on that. God doesn't hide that. And He gives us enough knowledge in the Word of God to how to live a godly life and to live a life pleasing unto the Lord. Those who study the Word of God are well equipped for every good work. Yet here we need to use some caution when it says, "For we know in part." We can't just systematize, if you will, all the places and all the things in God's Word so that we think now we've got it all systematized and we've got it all categorized and we know exactly what it is and we've got this and we can handle this. You better think again. You cannot do that. Well, we've got to be cautious here about systematizing the Word of God. We must always remember in this life that you and I live, we will never, ever know it all. All we can know at best is that we can know in part, as Paul says. Since we only have part, and since we only know in part, we don't have all the parts, and so we can never understand it, can we? Thank God for the part that He gives us, the knowledge that He gives us. So we're always going to be somewhat handicapped, if you will, if that's the right word, in studying God's Word, because you're never going to have all the knowledge about it. At best, you're going to just have a partial knowledge. You know, I would never say, please don't misunderstand me, I would never say, or I would never give the impression that the Word of God is not trustworthy, because it is. It's totally trustworthy. It's totally authoritative. It's the final authority on all life and all practice. So don't misunderstand that. Yet, we can trust the Bible. Here's where the caution comes in. You can't trust everyone's interpretation of the Bible or everyone's explanation of what they say that the Bible says. Listen, here is where the caution needs to be really brought to the surface. The basics of Bible knowledge, they're clear, so clear that anyone can read it, anyone can understand it, children can understand it, and know how to be saved, and how we can grow in the grace and knowledge of our precious Lord Jesus Christ. Also, the Bible is very clear to us, to show us how to serve the Lord, know His will for us, please Him. Beyond this, we all must humbly be cautious, very cautious. There's much yet that we have to learn. No one has arrived beyond this point of saying we have partial knowledge. Even the most educated, even the most learned, even the most experienced Bible students of all only have partial knowledge. So as we approach the Bible with partial knowledge and with a humble caution, we are blessed, are we not? Thank God we're blessed. This points to my third and final point to this message. These verses, "For we know in part," should humble us. They should caution us. But I think also they should encourage us. The benefit of partial knowledge. In verse 12 here, in 1 Corinthians 13, look what Paul says. He says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known." Paul says there's a day going to come when we shall know just as we're known. Now I want to ask you a question. How does God know us? Does God know us partially? Does He? No. God knows us fully. He even knows our thoughts even before we think them. So God does not know us partially. God knows us completely and God knows us fully. But we can only know Him partially down here. But then that day's going to give way when we're going to be on the other side. Paul says, we're looking sort of through a dirty mirror now. Dark glass, smoked over, if you will. You ever try to look through an old house that had a wood heater? The old windows all smoked up. You had to kind of wipe them off to see through them. We're living in a time and age now that we have a dark understanding. It's not as clear as it's going to be one day, but thank God there's a day going to come when that partial knowledge is going to give way to perfect knowledge. That excites me. That encourages me. I don't know about you, but it does to me. And it doesn't mean, please don't misunderstand, don't get off on the wrong rail here. It doesn't mean that we're going to be as intelligent as God is. It doesn't mean like some denominations, I'm not going to call their names, but some denominations teach that we're going to be God and we're going to be a God of a world somewhere. You're never going to be God and we're never going to have a world of our own to go somewhere out in cosmos and repopulate some world. Listen, but there's a day going to come when we get on the other side. Paul says we're going to see God face to face on that day. Now we're known in part, not by God, but by each other. We know things only in part, but when that day gives way, then the partial knowledge is going to give way with it. Isn't it going to be wonderful just to stop and just... Sometimes I kind of get on a little bit of a limb of my own or run a rabbit or two, but I think we're okay in this. Won't it be wonderful when we get on the other side? When all the acts of God that He's done throughout the ages will be fully revealed as to what God was doing and why God did it. And on the other side, listen, we're going to be amazed at the acts of God in our life, how God blended His acts through the acts of our own lives, how He blended them together to bring Him honor and glory and praise and magnify Him, and at the same time, bless us in the process. How wonderful that's going to be. Do you know there's things here going on right now that even the angels of God desire to learn and know about? Listen to what Peter said. Look in 1 Peter with me, over in chapter 1. Look at verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. Look what Peter wrote, 1 Peter 1:12. He said, searching what or what manner of the time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us did they minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. The angels don't know anything about conviction of sin. The angels don't know anything about salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Things that are going on down here, they only have partial knowledge about it. But they're going to know one day when a holy heavenly choir stands to sing, redeemed how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed and forever I am. For all eternity, we're always going to be learning more and more and more about the Lord. Well, it blesses me in the process. It encourages me in these days. It excites me in these days. I hope it does you. It should encourage us and excite us to want to try to even start where you are. To learn more as much as you can in this life about the Word of God. Today, Paul says, we study the Scriptures through a dark, dirty glass. But in heaven, it will be face to face. One of my favorite of all hymns is Face to Face with Jesus. Oh, what will it be when I behold Him, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you know what excites me to the point that I want to begin to learn and prepare and learn all God wants me to know here in this life about the blessed Word of God? I have a little piece of paper on my desk. You can go by and see it sometime. Been there ever since I came here as pastor. I've had it for years and years and years. It's my personal motto. It's out of the book of Psalms. It's Psalm 119, verse 18. And it says this, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things from thy law." I know that I only know in a very small, partial bit and piece, but I'm going to tell you something. It blesses me, it encourages me, it humbles me, it cautions me. You know, I don't know about you, but it isn't the things about the Word of God that I don't know that trouble me. It's the things that I do know about the Word of God that I'm not living like I should or that I could. It's the things that we do know that should bother us, that we already know certain things we ought to be doing, that we're falling short and failing in those things. That's what bothers me. If God wants us to know something else, praise His name, He'll reveal it to us. But the things He has revealed, and we do know, we ought to be obeying. Amen? So you see, at best, all of us, any of us, are only going to have a partial knowledge. Paul wanted to get that thought across to the Corinthians. I'm sure they were offended. I'm sure they fussed at Paul about it and told him, "Much learning, Paul's made you mad. You're a crazy man." They challenged his authority. They challenged his apostleship. They challenged his preaching. But Paul, by the mercy of God and God's wonderful Holy Spirit, left us, do you know, the greater part of the New Testament? Check out the books that Paul wrote. Even partial knowledge, what Paul wrote, God revealed to him. I'm so thrilled when God reveals something to me from His Word. I pray every week that God reveals something to me that He could reveal to you. Not through me, but through His Word. That He might share something with me that if it interests me, I feel like it'll interest you. If it'll bless me, I think it'll bless you. And if it convicts me, I believe it'll convict you too. So the benefit of partial knowledge. Oh, what's it going to be when the full thing is revealed? Heard John Phillips one time preaching in Jacksonville, Florida. And you all have heard, I know you have, that we use only a very small portion of our gray matter. John Phillips was preaching and he said this, "You know, you need to stop and think about it. What do you think it's going to be when God unlocks in that new body, with that new mind, the total potential of what man ought to be and what man should be? What's it going to be? Glory, glory, glory. What's it going to be?" But until then, I'm satisfied with just a partial knowledge of the Word. It benefits me, blesses me. What about you? Amen.